Is this on? Tick, tick, tick. Is this on? Thanks for doing that, Mike. I guess people were asking me if I was doing the announcements today, and I was like, are you kidding? Worship and announcements and the sermon? People would be running through the doors, and I'd be leading them. So I'm glad to be here this morning to talk to you guys. a little bit nervous. I got a lot of material, so hope you'll bear with me. I'm surprised to see... I told Bill in the first service not to pray for me because I figured during the break people would be sneaking out, but it looks like most of you stayed, so you're here at your own risk, okay? We're on that page, so a little bit nervous this morning, but, you know, someone gave me the advice, picture everyone in their underwear, and I got to tell you, being up here naked in front of you is not making me feel any easier. So, but, try not to look at me. Listen, it's good to be here this morning, and I know it's going to seem like a kind of a, well, he really thought this one out, but you know, here we are in the new year, so I thought it'd be a good time to talk a little bit about the new year. We just come off of our celebration this week. We're sitting here, and we're looking at 2018, a year that's full of hope, it's full of promises, all kinds of good things to come, right? And it's real easy. You just got to make one simple thing. Just one thing you got to do is make a commitment. January 1st. Just make a couple commitments. And the other 364 days are going to be glorious. Right? It's that simple. Well, I think we all know that it doesn't work out that easy. So I took a different approach this year. And I decided I'm going to commit to gaining 10 pounds. And this year I'm keeping it on. No, I wish that it was that easy, but you know, the truth is, I was thinking about getting my business plan together for my business, and I was thinking that last year was a great year, but I want even more this year, and it occurred to me that I can't do the same things I did, run the same plays, and expect an even better result, right? It just doesn't work that way, and I think the Broncos are probably proof of that. 2-28 or something like that? No. No, what I need is I need a better plan. I need a new strategy. What I need is a fresh start. I need to hit that easy button, man. Just start over. So let's look at it a different way. So when Steve asked me to fill in for him this morning, it occurred to me that maybe this morning, how many of you are here and you'd say, you know, that's all great, but I think I need a fresh start in my Christian life. So I'm going to put you guys on the spot here, and I'm going to ask you, would you be willing to raise your hand and share with us if you feel like today you would like a fresh start in your Christian life? Go ahead, raise your hands. Now, if the person sitting next to you needs a fresh start, raise your hand. Okay. Now listen, that was an IQ test. A lot of you failed, so it's going to be a long ride home for some people here. So... don't blame me. I warned you. All right. So many of us this morning, we've made mistakes in our Christian lives. Can I get an amen? That's going to be the basis. And you're going to hear me say that a lot. I apologize up front, but that's just the way it is. We're going to talk about the mistakes we've made and how to get past them. We've experienced many setbacks and failures throughout our lives. Okay. Sometimes we allow these mistakes, these setbacks and failures to enslave us to the point where we never really enjoy the Christian life to its fullest potential as God has given it to us to enjoy. Okay? Let's start by looking at John 10:10, and let's read a couple of verses together just so I can keep you guys awake for a few minutes, all right? The thief does not come. Let's start over. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Yeah, I'm going to take a pause here and tell you as we go through these slides. My spell check is my wife in the first service. So there's some Easter eggs in there. And whoever can find all the spelling errors in my slides, there's a prize for you, so keep track. So I apologize in advance. But anyway, let's look at that. He says here that he tells us that there's an adversary who seeks to kill us and destroy us and destroy that life that God has intended for us. This adversary, he just loves it when we dwell on the past. keeping us from enjoying that which God has given to us so liberally, so free. Let me just say it here this morning. He does not want you to have a fresh start in life. He likes you where you're at. Okay? If you're struggling. But the good news is that God says, I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want you to have a new beginning. I want to do something in your life, something new in your life. And let me ask you this, aren't you glad that God wants to do something in your life? Are you glad? Doesn't it make you excited that God has a design for you, and that includes a fresh start, a new beginning, a reset? Agreed? So what we need this morning is we need a fresh start. We need to find that new beginning in God. So last year, some of you may have said, man, I am going to grow in my relationship with God. About this time, you said, I am going to spend more time praying. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get involved in my church. I'm going to go to that awesome Tuesday night men's group I've been hearing so much about. Another shameless plug there. So, I'm going to spend some more quality time with my family. I mean, this list could go on. And I can, but I won't. The fact is that all of us here have made some commitments, and then we've made some mistakes. We've made some bad decisions that have hindered us from getting to the point where we achieve those things. I don't even have to ask for an amen, because I already know. I know the answer. So I think it would be good if we stop here and say, why do we fail? Why do we make these commitments? Why do we say, I'm starting fresh, I'm going to get it right this time, and why do we fail? I think we have to start there before we can understand how to better implement a plan to achieve success. So let's talk for a few minutes about why we fail. I believe that there are three reasons that we have to look at that are critical to why we fail. Number one, it goes back to my days of being a Boy Scout and a Scoutmaster and all that, is the number one reason that we fail is we don't prepare. We don't prepare ourselves. We don't look at the problems that we will face in life. We just kind of wander along, right? Let it happen to us. We're not going to get out in front of it. We're just going to hope for the best. That's our strategy. That's our theory. Let's take a look at Proverbs 27:12. Read that with me, would you? A prudent man faces evil, and he hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Let me ask you this. Was it raining when Noah started building that ark? No? In fact, it didn't rain for 120 years, right? But he saw, he knew, he was warned. And thankfully, because it took him that long to build the ark, so it worked out just right. All right. Another reason we fail is that we don't listen to others. We don't listen to the good advice when it's offered. Sometimes we get advice like the picture, and that's a little hard to hear. But most of the time, we approach it as we see in Proverbs 15:22. Read that one with me, would you? Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You need to get all the advice that you can. Get good advice from people that you know and you trust. And really take it in. Don't just dismiss it. When people won't listen to the advice of other people, why won't they listen? Because they think they've got it all. They don't need it. It's their pride. It's our pride. It's in the Bible, we know, says that the pride will lead to destruction. It always, always leads to destruction. But we know an arrogant attitude leads to a fall. When I think I know it all and I can figure it out all on myself, I'm setting myself up for failure. I don't need to listen to advice of others. I don't listen to the advice of my wife, my boss, my husband, the other people around me, the people in the body, the people here, those I know, those I trust. And if I think I'll just go it my own way because I got it all figured out, then the truth is we're really never going to arrive anywhere because we've already arrived, right? And that's the problem with pride, and that's where it comes in. So we fail to prepare, and we fail to listen to other people, and then we fail as a result. And then lastly, the third reason that we fail is we give up too soon. And there are the three reasons. Third one being we give up too soon. I'm going to pause here and just explain. This was for Bill's sake. It says in the bottom under regrets, those were the droids I was looking for. Next time I'll make it bigger. Okay. So we give up too soon. If you feign in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Well, failure is the path of least resistance. The problem is that often during these trying times, we just stop trying, right? We're tried, so we stop trying. Let me say this to you. If you don't first succeed, welcome to the human race. Let me say it again. If you don't succeed, you are just normal. Each and every one of us. We just don't get it the first time normally. If you do, it's an exceptional thing. Let's just say that very few people, very few make it on their first try in anything. Oftentimes we give up just when that success is around the corner. Oh, so close. We get discouraged and we give up. But let me just say this to you. You are never a failure. You are never a failure until you give up. So don't give up too soon. Hang in there. Well, now that we know the three reasons that we fail, let's talk about some good news, that there is hope. What is that hope? The hope is, according to Isaiah, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Let me read this to you in that of the New Life Version. I love the way it states it. The Lord says, forget about what has happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things that I am going to do for you. So listen to what God is saying in this verse. Forget about what's happened before. He says, think about the past. Don't think about the past. Let it go. Let it go. Watch the movie. Whatever you need to do, let it go. It is over. The book is closed on it. Okay? We need to understand that God is far more interested in our future than he is in our past. Some people think that God is stuck in their past, that all he wants to do is remind them of the things that they have done wrong, that God is more interested in punishing and reminding and enslaving. But that is couldn't be further from the truth, because God is more interested in your future than he is your past. Remember, that's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. And he says, forget about your past. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look at the new things that I am going to do for you. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. I don't know. You feel that you've made so many mistakes that you have failed God so many times. You've sinned it all away. But the good news is, as we've seen, God is saying it's not over. He has plans for you and your life, and he's about to do something new for you, through you. So what I want to do is share this morning with you, now that we understand why we fail, let's talk about how do we succeed. How do we hit that reset button, that just easy button, right? Is there an easy way of doing that? Well, let me just say this to you. Growing up in a Christian school, as I've told many of you before, I used to, in high school, do preaching competitions. It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? You know, preaching competition. Who can out-preach each other? Hell and brimstone. But anyway, one of the things that I did in those days is I promised I would never do acronyms. Everybody else would do that, and I was just like, that is not me. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm not living in the past. Because I'm going to break my own rule today, and I'm going to do an acronym. I just thought when I did this research, it was so good, I wanted to share it with you. And it just makes for an easy way to remember it. So, with your permission and forgiveness, we're going to do an acronym together, okay? Thank you, Rachel. That was the only permission I guess I need. Is okay? All right, let's do an acronym. We're going to use the word START, okay? Just kind of a framework for us to put it together and keep on track of where we're going with this. So how do we start over? I hope that maybe this will remember it, actually. I really do. And I hope that maybe it might even come into a point where you can pass it on to a friend if they're having a time of failures. Remember, regardless of whatever your failures you've had in the past, whether it be a financial failure, maybe a relational failure, could even be a marriage failure. Maybe you've had some moral failings. You've just really blown it, and you've just made some bad decisions, and you're at a point where, man, you just really don't want anybody to even find out about it. It's that bad, right? I mean, I'm not going to point fingers. regardless of your failure you have had in your life, here's how easy it is to hit the reset button and start over. Okay? Number one, we'll start with the S. Stop making excuses. Have to stop. And I think we probably all can relate to that in one way or another. We have to stop making new excuses. If I want a fresh start in life, I have to stop making excuses for my failures. I've got to stop blaming other people. The other guy did it. It's not me. What about so-and-so? We had a little joke in my family, and my parents, they always say that my younger brother, whenever he was in trouble, the first words out of his mouth was, "But Will." That was his go-to defense, right? Of course, I didn't have any. I was perfect. Just kidding. Anyway, don't tell him I said that. He's about this tall, and he would really pound me now. So don't tell him I told you that. But anyway. All right, so listen, we've got to stop seeing ourselves as a victim and stop seeing ourselves as a victim of the circumstances that happened to us. Other people can hurt us. That is true. Other people can harm us. Other people can scar us. But the only person that can truly ruin your life is you. Nobody can ruin your life without your permission. And I know that's hard to hear sometimes, but the truth is you give to give them the permission to have that much power in your life. Okay? You do have a choice. You can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. And the Bible says that the starting point is just to be honest and to accept the responsibility for your part in the problem. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes him will have mercy." He gets a fresh start. He says that the starting point is to be honest, to face up to the problems, and that most of the and whatever the problems of my life and whatever the problems are that I'm responsible for, they are my fault. You have to own them. And I know it's hard to get people to admit or for ourselves to look inward and say, "I'm wrong." People do not like to say, "I've made a mistake." People do not like to say, "I'm going to tell you that I've blown it. I'm wrong. It's my fault." It's however you want to put it. We do not like to admit our mistakes. But God says that if we admit those mistakes, and if we admit our failures, and if you admit your sin, then we get another chance at life. That's as simple as that. Stop blaming others. Stop making excuses. Let's move on to the T. How about that we take some time and we take an inventory on our life? Okay, I need to take an inventory on my life, and that means that I need to evaluate all of my experiences. I need to look at what I have left after the failures. There's good in there, and I know for each and every one of you here today, when you take that inventory, there may be failures, and there will be failures, but there's also a lot of good. And I know that's true for every person here today. The fact that you're here today, you've got good things going on for you. So when I take a look at my life's experiences, what am I going to learn from them? Okay? In Galatians 3:4, it says, "Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain," with a question. The Living Bible states it this way, "Have you suffered so much for the gospel? Now are you going to throw it all overboard? I can hardly believe it." Would you just throw it all away? Learn from your mistakes. Failure can be your friend or it can be your foe. You determine if failure is your friend or your foe. You make the choice. If you learn from it, it can be your friend. It can be your best friend. However, if you don't learn from it, it will certainly be your foe. Let me say this, as we talk about the experiences when you take that inventory, there are four kinds of experiences I believe that God uses to shape our lives. The first one is he uses our personal experiences. The family that you grow up in, the people around you, the people you relate to, the circles you're in, the body, the church, the small groups, the people you work with. Those personal relationships, that God uses those. Even your husband, your wife, your significant other, he uses personal experiences to shape you. The second thing that you look at in your experiences is look at your vocational and educational experiences. God uses those to shape you as well. The third one is he uses spiritual experiences to shape you. Like coming to church, going on a retreat, reading your Bible, having quiet time, prayer, worship, all of those things that you engage in your spiritual life. He uses those to shape you. And then lastly, and this is the toughest one, is he uses painful experiences to shape you. Which is the point we wanted to get to. That even those painful experiences, those failures, those things that you go through, those are what shape you. And you get to decide what the shape is that you'll be from those. So when you're doing that inventory, let's do it this way. Let's take a look and let's say, what are our three questions that I have to ask? The first one is, what have I learned? When I'm evaluating my experiences, when I'm doing that personal inventory, I'm going to look at everything, the failures, the good things, and I'm going to say, what have I learned? And unfortunately, many of us know people that are 40, 50, even more years than that, old, and they just... they don't have 40 or 50 years. Wow, man. I think somebody's backing me up here, huh? They don't have that 40, 50 plus years of experience. What they have is they have 1 year of experience, and then they just keep reliving that year over and over and over. They never learn anything. So what have we learned from our past experiences? If you don't sit down and think about your experiences, think it through thoughtfully, you'll end up repeating the same mistakes over and over again because you just didn't learn from it the first time. It's really just that simple. The second question to ask yourself is, what are my assets? What do I have going for me? Do I have my health? Do I have my freedom? Am I still mentally sound? Do I have close friends? Don't answer that. Do I have the Lord? Do I have a church family? What do I have in my fresh start? What do you have available to facilitate this fresh start? And I guarantee no matter where you're at, you have several things in your pocket in your favor going for you. Don't sell yourself short on what you have. Okay? Amen? Okay. And finally, the third question you ask yourself is, who can help me? I know who's going to help me. They're up there. No, I'm just kidding. When we need a fresh start, we need somebody by our side. We need a friend. We need an accountability partner. We need a support person. We need a support group. We need coaches. We need people to put into us. Find someone that can help you. You can find those people. Just seek them out. You need either people to start over because on your own, when you're coming out of that crisis, that setback, you're not going to pick it up and do it over on yourself. I mean, it would have to be let's just say that you have a better chance of succeeding when you have those people around you, the support that you need. When you have that someone who will walk alongside with you, there is one that you can be count on to help us get that fresh start, the Lord Jesus, right? And he can really help you get your life back together and make sure that you get on the right footing so that you can have that fresh start that we've been talking about. Let's talk about the A and the word start. Let's act in faith. This is the third step in our fresh start, in our reset, hitting that easy button, is acting in faith. And you're likely going to have to launch into some new territory. But the Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. If you want to change your circumstances, it takes faith. If you want to change your personality, it takes faith. If you want to change anything in your life, you have to have some strength. I'm sorry, some faith. You have to have faith. Jesus said to the blind men in Matthew 9:29, he says, according to your faith, let it be. That is a very simple statement, but it's a very powerful statement. That according to your faith, it will be done to you. That means that you tend to get out of life what we expect. We get out of life what we expect according to our faith. Okay? Now, the faith that I'm talking about is not a dead hope. Okay, it's an affirmative faith that takes positive action coupled with the help of God to change your life. Let me read that again because there's a lot in that. It is an affirmative faith that takes a positive action coupled with the help of God to change your life. You learn from your past failures and mistakes, and then you act in faith for the future. You have to act in that faith. Some people will never act in the faith because they've been paralyzed by the fear of past failures and mistakes. We have to stop having, as my mom used to love to call it, a little pity party there, right? And stop rehearsing the past. We got to stop regretting the past. You've got to get on with the present and the future. The more time we spend regretting our past, the more of our future that we're wasting. It's wasting away. The more time that you spend thinking, gosh, I wish I had done this. I wish this had happened. I wish I could change things. If only I could go back, reverse the clock, redo history, make a life when I should have went right. You are just simply rehearsing and regretting. You're not only making yourself miserable when you're doing that, you're also setting yourself up for more of the same in the future. Because remember, whatever you focus on tends to be what you reproduce in your life. And so if that's your focus, you're going to reproduce that in your life. According to your faith, it will be done to you, unto you. So what we need to do is we need to learn from those failures, and let me give you the real secret of success. Every successful entrepreneur knows this. You've all heard it so many times before. Real success is built on failure. Failure is the way you become success. It just works out that way. Little picture of Edison here, a little something for the ladies this morning. He figured out, and he said, you know what, on about the 200th try, they started having some success, you know, and of course it took many experiments beyond that, but around the 200th or so attempt, you know, they started to have some success with the different filaments, and in his, you know, quest to create a meaningful, purposeful light bulb, you know, industrial strength, something that could be reproduced and what have you. And when he looked at it, he didn't say, you know, I didn't, 99 times, he didn't fail. He said, I succeeded in learning 199 ways it didn't work. Okay, so the point is that you never call it a failure in your life, all right? So we're going to change a little bit here, some ways we look at this, and some of the verbiage that even that I've used and probably will continue to use is that in a practical circumstance, we're not going to call it a failure, but what we're going to do is we're going to call it an education. Sound good? What we need to do is we just learn from the past and act in faith for the future, and we look to God for our guidance. So there's our education. Let's move on to refocus. That's the next step in our process. I need to refocus my thoughts if I want to change my life. If I want to get going again, if I want that fresh start, I need to rethink the way I think. I have to change my thought patterns. Now, I'll need to change my mind on a number of different issues. I'm sure of that. We see in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Stated another way, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The way you think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change your actions, just change the way you think, and it will inevitably change the way you act. If you are depressed, discouraged, disappointed, distressed, it may be because you're thinking depressed, you're thinking discouraged, you're thinking disappointment, you're thinking distressing thoughts. That is your choice. That's the one thing you can't control, is your choice to continue to think those thoughts. You don't have to think those thoughts. Because if you're acting in fearful, worried ways, it might be because you're thinking in fearful, worried ways. That's where your thoughts are. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind in this refocus. If I have to refocus my thoughts to start over to get a fresh start, that means I have to stop thinking about those old patterns. Which memories are you still rehearsing that keep you from having that fresh start? The Bible says to let it go. Let those things just go. The more you hold on to that memory, the more you rehearse it, it continues to hurt you today. It cannot hurt you without your permission. You have to change your mind and to let it go and get rid of those painful, hurtful memories. Those memories of shame, guilt, and the other things that you're carrying with you today. So you may say, well, how do I do that? That sounds great. It's just that simple, right? Not really. But where we start is with confession. That's where you're going to start. You may say, but I've confessed to God and I still feel guilty. How do I get rid of this painful memory? Well, let me say to you, not by resisting it, but by replacing it. That would be my suggestion. It's not saying I'm not going to think about it. Because guess what? When you're doing that, you are thinking about it. Nothing's changed. But instead, change your focus, change your emphasis, change your thoughts, change what you are thinking about. Stop focusing on that and start focusing on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, what you want to see. Get your attention onto something else. Refocus. Replace those memories by thinking about something else. And let me just say here, when you focus on something else, what's the best thing to focus on? God's Word. I'll summarize here Psalm 1. It says, happy are those who are always meditating on God's Word. They are like trees along a river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything that they do. Meditating on God's Word simply means rehearsing God's Word in our minds. Just letting it go through, around, making it the focus, not on the past, not on the hurt, but on the Word. And as we fill our mind with God's Word, it begins to change our mind. We stop seeing ourselves as other people see us, and we have seen ourselves, but begin to see ourselves as God sees us. And that's a promise to you, that there will be a change in the place. And I just made that sentence up. I don't even know what it meant. If you were listening, that meant nothing, right? A bunch of words strung together there. Let's back up. I'm getting a little fast. I'm watching the clock, and I apologize. Let me just say that when there's a change that takes place, that's where the power to start over. Here's the good news. We're to the last letter, T. So if you have one of those remotes, go ahead and start your car. I got one less friend. I'm taking my inventory. No, thank you guys for... I know this is a lot of information, and I apologize. I just hope you have to have it all for it to come together. So I'm almost there. Bear with me, okay? The last one is trust. Trust God will help us to succeed. Depend on Him. We don't need to depend on ourselves. We've been there. We've done that. We've proven that it doesn't work. That's why we've failed. Some people just don't get it, though. They stumble and fall, and when they get up and they say, I'll try harder. It's like this guy here, man. He walks up and he just starts banging his head on the wall. Falls down. Did the wall move? No. So he gets up and he does it again. Maybe this time it'll work. And he falls down, he gets back up, and he just keeps banging his head, thinking that eventually there'll be a different outcome. But what we know is that's just insanity. That's the definition of it, thinking that eventually he'll get a different result when we know what the end result will be. It's going to work out the same. But we can't change who we are. Only God can do that, all right? So what I'm saying is I'm not speaking about the outward man here, but the inward man. The real person is a hidden person of the heart. Success in the Christian life is not trying harder, but living smarter. I want to make that point again. That success in the Christian life is not trying harder, but living smarter, giving God the control of my life. Zechariah, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You will not succeed on your own strength or power, but his spirit. So when someone becomes a Christian, they become a brand new person inside, and they're not the same anymore. A new life begins. God specializes in new beginnings. We know that. And Jesus Christ has the power to do that. And it's called being born again. We use that word all the time. Well, I'm saying that it's also a chance to start over, when we can have a fresh start with a new life. And God says to you, and I hope this is the point, is that He says to you, I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. He doesn't want you to turn over a leaf. He says, I'm going to give you a whole new life. Let's take that path. Let's go for that new life. So in conclusion, here's my question to you today, and I'll wrap it up here. Will you have a fresh start in life? Will you have a new beginning? Will you hit the reset button with me this year? Will this year be different than the last and the one before that? Let me just say, it's your choice, and I hope I've given you some tools to do that. How can you have that fresh start? How can you make that choice today? Well, you are going to commit together to stop making excuses. We're going to take an inventory of our life. We're going to act in faith. We're going to refocus our thoughts, and we're going to learn to trust God. It really is just that easy. Amen? All right, well, thank you guys for letting me speak with you this morning. Thank you.